And so I'm excited today to just share very briefly with us around the anointing. And then we're going to pray for everybody and anybody who would like to be prayed for and anointed with oil. So if you have your Bible, you can open it this morning to the book of Samuel, chapter 16, verse 13. Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. We're going to read this together. And it says, so Samuel took the horn of oil. Danny, let's buy a horn to put oil in. You got that? And anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. It says that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David, the shepherd boy, among his brothers. And from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. A couple of things I want us to note as we look at this passage of Scripture is that Samuel was God's anointed prophet at the time. And it says that Samuel came and he anointed David, who at that time would be considered of no significance. In that time was considered someone to be forgotten about. In fact, when Samuel first asked for the sons to come of Jesse, they didn't even bring him. And he had to say, hey, do you have one more? And they went and got David. He was the forgotten one, the insignificant one. He was the youngest of his brothers. And there Samuel called him out of insignificance and anointed him in front of his brothers, which is important because he was anointed in front of those who would have looked down on him. He was anointed in front of those who might have been familiar with him and would maybe have never seen anything great in him. And there Samuel anointed David from insignificance to significance in the midst of those who might have looked down on him or were familiar with him. And from that day forward, David became great. He didn't take his office for many years to come as king of Israel. In fact, the greatest king of Israel. But from that moment, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. This morning, I want to talk to us about being an anointed people. The anointing, or to anoint, simply means to rub or smear something. Now, funnily enough, as far as I understand, they take that horn of oil and they don't rub or smear anything. They just pour on ahead. We'll get back to that. It might ruin the carpet, though. And it's new. I guess if we did it up here, we could wash it up with soap. But to anoint means simply to rub or to smear something. And the oil that God chose to anoint people with, he actually fashioned. He actually gave specific examples of how it's to be made and specific restrictions to say, and don't you copy this. This version of the anointing oil that I'm giving you is holy, and it's not to be used for anything else. It's to be, dare I say, consecrated or set apart for a specific purpose and mission. It's amazing that God literally gave them a recipe of how to make this oil. In fact, it was made up of five specific ingredients. The first one was myrrh. I would say myrrh. 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 And symbolized traditionally the pain and suffering of the human condition. The second ingredient was cinnamon. which was meant to represent divine favor and devotion to God. The third ingredient was calamus, or sweet cane, which was meant to represent the soothing, gentle, and refreshing qualities of the great Holy Spirit. And then the fourth one was cassia, which symbolized the guidance and protection of the Lord. And the fifth one was simply olive oil, which we know all throughout Scripture consistently oil represents the Spirit of God, that which allows us to function. It's amazing that machinery needs oil to function. Without the oil, it doesn't function properly and breaks down and burns out. But when the oil is fresh, when the oil is constantly poured in and topped up, the machinery can do what it's called to do. The oil represents the presence, the Spirit of the living God. And the anointing was, when they would anoint somebody with oil, it was used as a symbol to set apart or to consecrate someone and to authorize and empower them for a specific purpose. And the oil, the anointing oil, or the anointing of someone, as we see with King David, ultimately represented that as they were set apart for their purpose and their mission, it was to represent divine humility, favor, protection, and guidance through the great Holy Spirit as they went day by day in their role. To consecrate something simply means to formally declare or set it apart as sacred and to dedicate it solemnly, to dedicate it solemnly to the service of God. To consecrate, as we see with the oil, God said it was holy, to be set apart, to be consecrated, was to formally declare it is sacred and to dedicate it to one purpose, the service of God. That in all things, the one who's being anointed or the thing that's being anointed would be pulled out of what's normal, set to the side for a purpose and a mission, and that they would do it unto the Lord for the glory of the Lord. It's what it means to be set apart. It's what it means to be consecrated to the Lord. And we see in the Old Covenant that God anointed kings, He anointed priests, and He anointed prophets. Then we move from the Old Covenant. There's a person who came to usher in the New Covenant, and His name is Jesus. And to usher in the New Covenant, the Bible tells us that God anointed Jesus for a specific purpose and for a specific mission to be set apart, to be holy, to be consecrated, to usher in through His life, through His death, and His resurrection, to usher in the new covenant, not of law, but of grace. The book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And it says, and Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. You see, Isaiah prophesied that an anointed man would come and that he would change everything, that the Messiah would come and he would break the yoke of bondage. In fact, we see in Isaiah prophesying in Isaiah 61 verses 1, it says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news, that's the gospel of salvation, to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, and to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That Jesus would be anointed to set the captives free, to preach good news to the poor, to pronounce the favor, the year of favor, of grace, that no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, that his grace is available not by what's being earned, but by who you believe in and what he did for you. And out of that, when he came, he would bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes. That the oil of joy would come instead of mourning. That instead of a garment of praise instead of despair, he would come, and this would be the result, that there'll be no more mourning, but there would be praise. That there wouldn't be despair, there would be hope. And he says, and they will be called oaks, thick, strong trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to ultimately display his splendor and his majesty. So in the Old Testament, God anointed kings, priests, and prophets. To usher in the new covenant, God anointed Jesus. And then in the new covenant, Christians are anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power to be witnesses of the one who ushered in the new covenant of grace, to ultimately give glory to God. In the new covenant, Christians are the anointed ones. Now, quickly, I just want to step on a couple of toes before we start praying for everybody. The word anointed gets thrown around a lot. And we look at certain people and we say, they're anointed by God. And that person's anointed by God. And we say, they've got a great anointing. But in reality, the Bible teaches us that there's one anointing. And it's the anointing of the Lord upon those who believe. I want to help you understand this morning, if you are a born-again Christian, you are anointed. You are set apart. You are consecrated for his glory and for his purpose and for his mission. This doesn't mean we can't say somebody's anointed, but to declare that one believer is anointed and one is not anointed is to misunderstand what the Bible teaches, that if you have given your life to Jesus, if you have surrendered your heart before the King of Glory and follow the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches us, has come and sealed your heart. He has come and filled you with his Spirit, and you are the anointed ones who are set apart, who are consecrated for a mission. It's the mission of Jesus that wherever you go, whatever you do, friend, you are anointed. Don't look at somebody else and say, I wish they had their anointing, because you got it. It's called the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He called you. No one comes to the Father except whom he calls. He called you. He saved you. He separated you from that which is normal, from that which is worldly, and said, you are my chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation called out of darkness and into the marvelous light. To be a Christian is to be anointed. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21. It says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It's God who makes you and I both stand firm in Christ. And it's God who has anointed you and set his seal, his promise of ownership on us. And he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing that you are the chosen of the Lord. And that one day when it all ends, you'll be worshiping with the angels and the saints, forever singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and is to come." 1 John 2:20 says, "But you have an anointing." Not you might get an anointing, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. To be a Christian is to be anointed. We don't do this old covenant idea where there's the anointed man of God, and here we are as the people of God, and we only access God through the anointed one. The day of Pentecost, he says, "I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." And when he poured out his Spirit upon all flesh, he anointed all of us to have direct access to God the Father through the perfect mediator, Jesus Christ. You see, we understand that to be anointed is to be a Christian, and to be a Christian is to be anointed. However, to function in your anointing takes intentionality. To function in your anointing, to walk in your anointing, takes commitment, takes consecration. You're anointed by God to advance his kingdom in every way that the Bible teaches us. But it's going to take intentionality to walk by the Spirit. It's going to take commitment to separate ourselves from that which is normal and say, we are set apart. We are consecrated. He says, "You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, whom I called out of darkness and into the marvelous light." We as believers are in the world, but you've heard it said a million times, we are not of this world. We are called to be separate from the world so we can have influence into the world. It's not like modern day influence where everybody wants to look the same. If you want to not influence the world for the glory of God, be just like it. If you want to not function or walk in your anointing, keep one foot in and one foot out. But we have to separate ourselves to flow in the anointing that God has given you by his Holy Spirit. Don't believe the lie that someone has a greater anointing than you, friend. They don't have a greater anointing. If you feel it, if you realize it, it's because they have submitted and yielded themselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So they're functioning in their authority. They're functioning in their anointing in a greater capacity than you are. But that's because it takes intentionality. That's because it takes commitment. That's because it takes consecration. God, why isn't your blessing and favor in my life? Because you've probably got one foot in and one foot out. Why aren't we seeing God move the way we want to see in our families and our lives? Maybe we're not committed to it enough. I'm not talking about works to get God to perform. I'm talking about being who you were called to be, being who you were bought to be by the blood of Jesus, set apart, sanctified, holy and righteous before the righteous one. The Old Testament, they anointed kings, priests, and prophets. God anointed Jesus to usher in the new covenant of grace that allowed the Spirit of God to be poured out upon all mankind, that we are the anointed ones of God called for such a time as this. We live in a dark world. We live in a world where there are movements waving their flag of sexual immorality, running rampant. We live in a world that is celebrating, trying to legalize and normalize the killing of children in the womb. We live in a dark world, but friend, I'll tell you the truth. It's been dark world for a very long time in different capacities. It's not a whether or not the world is dark, it's whether or not we're going to separate ourselves from the world so we can be a light in the darkness, to take the basket off so we can shine bright. Isaiah says, though deep darkness covers the earth, I will arise over you, says the Lord. We will shine in the darkness. You can't burn if you got no oil. You need to keep yourself full of the oil and the presence of God. If you want to burn out, step out of your calling. If you want to burn bright, be constantly filled with the anointing of God. It's not that you're not anointed, but you create a funnel in your life. And you get touched by the power of God, and He moves in you, and you're intentional, and you're committed to stay where the oil is flowing. You can't fry chicken in water. You got to put it in the oil. To function and walk in your anointing takes intentionality, commitment, and consecration. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Offer your bodies, your life, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Does that mean you have to get it right every second of every day? No. It means you need to be intentional and committed every single day to do your best by His Spirit to consecrate yourself, to separate yourself from that which is normal so that you can live under that which is great. To separate yourself from that which is every day and natural, to live a life that is supernatural. In the favor, in the blessing, in the humility, in the protection, and in the guidance of the Lord God Almighty. Joshua, as the worship team joins us, this one won't be on the screen, but Joshua tells us in the book of Joshua chapter 3 verses 5, read it this morning and added it in. It says, and Joshua told the people, and this is for us this year, consecrate yourselves, set yourselves apart, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. City Point Church, consecrate yourself. For today, tomorrow and next month, the Lord is going to do amazing things among you. Not just here on a Sunday. He's going to do amazing things in your family. He's going to do amazing things in your workplace. He's going to do amazing things in your business. Wherever you go, He's going to do amazing things. But He says, consecrate yourself. You've been consecrated and set apart by the blood of Jesus. You are anointed, but what are you going to do with your anointing? Are you going to throw it away? Are you going to pour it down the drain? or are you going to pull yourself apart and light yourself on fire and burn for the glory of God? Savannah and I have been talking and praying and discussing that this year for us is going to be a year of amazing things. But church, we got to be different. We got to do what God's called us to do. We're not looking down the road at that church or this church or what's happening on that state or that city. We're looking at God, what do you have for us so we can set ourselves apart, consecrate ourselves to your calling, your mission, and your mandate for this community. If we pull ourselves apart and say, God, what do you have for us? He says, sons, daughters, I will do amazing things. Church, if you get one thing today, get this. You are the anointed of the Lord. You are the anointed of the Lord. You don't need me to rub some oil on your head so that you become anointed. You don't need me to pray for you so that you're anointed. If you've given your life to Jesus, you are anointed. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, friend, I'm sorry. It's a huge mistake. You're running into darkness. You're running into despair. You're running into hopelessness and agony and torment. That's where you're heading, and Jesus is saying, I will take it all for you. So what happens today when we anoint people with oil? If you're already anointed, this is a commitment to acknowledge I am anointed by God. But today I'm making a commitment. Today I'm setting myself apart. Today, for this year and beyond, I'm saying I'm going to be intentional to consecrate my life, to live holy, to walk holy, and to ultimately display the glory and wonder of the Lord. Amen? Amen. There's a couple of ways in the Bible, in the New Testament, that the oil is used. And one of those ways is to anoint the sick and those who are demon-possessed or oppressed. James says, if any of you among you is sick, once you come and the elders of the church will pray over you and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Jesus sent out his disciples. He said, go into the earth, preach the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, anoint them with oil, and drive out demons. It's one of the functions that we use oil for. The power is not in the oil, friends. The power is in the name. The oil is a prophetic, symbolic representation the Bible has given us and commissioned us to use, the same to do mighty works. So this morning I want to take 2 minutes and I want to pray for those who are sick. If you're in here this morning and you are sick, you're tormented by sickness or ailment, the doctors can't fix it, or you're desperate or it's so painful, say, I can't live like this. Well, this morning, I want to obey the Bible that says, any among you is sick, come to the elders, and they'll anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick or heal the sick.